The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Investopedia, Kiplinger.com, Kiplinger Personal Finance, and also continuing with our book entitled Money Hacks. Our first article from Kiplinger.com is entitled Smart Money Management, The Best Trends and Tools. Over the decades, the basic meaning of the term personal finance has remained the same, but the ways we go about managing our finances have changed with technology. Many years ago, customers had to go to their local bank to do anything from deposit money to cash a check to apply for a mortgage or a personal loan. However, these functions have largely shifted online over the last 10 years or so, even to the point where internet banks without local branches are common. Of course, today's technology has done much more than just move banking functions online. The many available tools and technology have made money management easier than ever before. Fintech. One word that gets thrown around a lot these days is fintech, short for financial technology. Anyone who trades stocks has probably heard a lot of companies use that word to define their services because it attracts quite a lot of attention among investors. Fintech is hot, and companies that have anything to do with personal finance want to link themselves to this trend. However, fintech encompasses many different areas and captures all parts of personal finance and money management. Now that most people carry a smartphone with them everywhere, the necessary tools to take care of every aspect of money management are as close as your purse or pocket, starting with financial literacy. Unfortunately, the current trends are not good. Financial literacy. Nearly 75% of U.S. teens are not confident in their knowledge of personal finance, according to a survey from Greenlight, a debit card and money app geared towards kids and families. A majority of those surveyed want more education in this area. On a broader scale, 25% of Americans don't have anyone to ask for financial guidance. And 23% of U.S. adults between the ages of 18 and 29 have credit card debt that's more than 90 days past due. In fact, the latest data from the Federal Reserve Bank shows that Americans have racked up a record amount of credit card debt, approaching $1 trillion. With these trends in mind, we can take a look at some of the best tools for personal finance by breaking them down into four major areas of money management: income, savings, spending, and investing. Under the category of income is where everyone starts because you can't do anything else until you start bringing money in. The most basic tools are your bank's website and smartphone app, but fintech has much more to offer. A key part of managing your income is making a budget, and there are plenty of options to choose from. Mint is a highly recommended budgeting app that's good for just about everything. Mint offers a free way to sync all your checking and savings accounts, credit cards, bills, investments, and loans. Then it tracks your expenses and categorizes them, assigning them to different parts of your budget. While Mint works on a backward-facing basis, other apps are better for those who want to look forward. YNAB, that's YNAB, motivates users to plan ahead with their financial decisions rather than just track what they've already done. When you get paid, you tell the app how much you want to budget for each category. Unfortunately, YNAB costs about $15 a month or $99 a year, although a free 34-day trial is available. However, many of the best tools come with user fees that are worthwhile for those who make the most of them. While making a budget is the first step, those who have never done this might not know even where to start. Traditionally, many experts suggested budgeting half your income for needs, 30% for wants, and 30% for either savings or debt repayment. However, in today's world of soaring inflation, things have gotten much trickier. With prices shifting so much, so fast, sometimes there's nothing better than a simple spreadsheet on your computer, or even tracking everything using pencil and paper. For a more high-tech approach, tools like Every Dollar can help you organize your spending habits. The makers of the app claim it will help users find an extra $332 hiding in plain sight and cut their monthly expenses by 9%. Under the category of savings, a critical aspect of budgeting involves setting aside savings each month. As the saying goes, it is essential to prioritize paying yourself first before allocating your income towards expenses. However, implementing this principle can be easier said than done. Acorns is a tool that can provide significant assistance in this regard. Acorns functions by rounding up each debit or credit card charge to the nearest dollar and then depositing the spare change into an investment account. Additionally, Acorns offers the option of establishing recurring investments, albeit at a cost of $3 a month. Another similar platform, Stash, allows users to arrange recurring deposits directly into their investment accounts. Notably, Stash bills itself as an investing app for beginners. Large brokerage firms like Vanguard and Fidelity Investments provide the same feature at no additional cost. Under the category of spending, many companies have begun to push for recurring revenue from customers, which means many consumers may have lost track of what they've handed out their credit card information to. It's incredibly easy to rack up hundreds of dollars in recurring charges every month, especially when so many companies offer a free trial, but then require credit card information to get that trial. Having your credit card on file enables them to automatically charge you once the free period is up. And after you've forgotten that you gave out your credit card information, you will be charged. Even if you don't sign up for a lot of subscriptions, it can be easy to spend virtually your entire paycheck without really realizing where your money is going. As a result, it may help to use one or more tools to get your spending under control. For example, Chase Account Manager allows users of Chase credit cards to see where they've saved their credit card information online. Capital One offers a similar tool called Eno, that's E-N-O, which enables its customers to monitor their accounts, track spending, and prevent fraud. Some spending tools even help you get better rates for the services that you use. For example, Hiatus helps users track their spending and account balances across all of their accounts while monitoring for unfair rates on the services you use and helping eliminate unwanted subscriptions. Similarly, Trim by One Main, that's Trim by, T-R-I-M-B-Y, One Main, O-N-E-M-A-I-N, can help you negotiate lower rates for the services you use. And lastly, under the category of investing, If you want to retire one day or establish any level of financial security, you'll need to invest some of your savings. However, the average consumer may not know where to start, which is where some of the best tools come into play. For example, Fidelity offers a wide range of investing tools to help you with investing and planning for retirement, trading stocks, exchange-traded funds and options, and managing your investments with longer-term financial goals in mind. There are also many excellent online brokerages, including Webull, Charles Schwab, and Ally Invest. Finally, Empower provides investing advice and access to over 150 mutual funds, while Fundrise makes it easy to invest in real estate and other private assets like venture capital. The bottom line, when it comes to managing your money, it can seem like an uphill battle to cover all four of the major aspects, from income to investing. Setting a budget and sticking to it has become more important than ever before. With today's inflation rates, and of course, there is no such thing as a risk-free investment. However, these tools and others can help you make wiser decisions than you might be able to on your own. Our next article from Kiplinger Personal Finance, The High Cost of Caregiving. Caring for aging parents can extract a financial and emotional toll on you. More than 38 million Americans provide unpaid caregiving to seniors and other loved ones, spending an average of more than $7,000 a year on out-of-pocket costs, according to AARP. In 2021, the value of that care topped $6 billion. An increase of $130 billion from 2019. But because caregiving is often physically and mentally exhausting, particularly when you're caring for elderly parents, many caregivers fail to focus on their own finances. Amy Goyer, caregiving expert for AARP, had to quit her full-time job to care for her mother, who died in 2013, and her father, who died in 2018. Goyer eventually had to file for bankruptcy to pay off the debts that she incurred while caring for her parents, whose income made them ineligible for the Medicaid public health insurance program. That's not unusual. Many middle-class families make too much money to qualify for Medicaid, which means they have to pay for expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Those include everything from home health care to incontinence products. In Goyer's case, while Medicare covered some expenses, they weren't up to her standards. I had to buy my mom a new wheelchair cushion because the one Medicare sent was not soft enough, she says. Nicole Jorick, Chief of Advocacy and Campaigns at Caring Across Generations, a caregiving advocacy organization, is caring for her grandparents, who also earn too much to qualify for government assistance. She's a long-distance caregiver. She lives in Virginia, and her grandparents live in Florida, which adds to her out-of-pocket cost. Because her grandparents are ineligible for Medicaid, she has to pay for their home health care out of her own savings. And she frequently flies to Florida to help them out. Jorick says the financial strain of caregiving has made it difficult for her to save for retirement. That's not unusual either. A MedLife study found that one-third of caregivers reduce their work hours or stop working entirely to care for a family member. MetLife estimates that caregivers who leave the workforce prematurely lose an average of $304,000 in wages, pensions, and Social Security benefits. A Transamerican Institute survey of 3,000 caregivers also noted that the economic hardship caregivers can endure. Only 56% of caregivers surveyed describe their financial status as stable. 18% said they had to take out hardship loans and early withdrawals from their retirement accounts to cover expenses. Fortunately, there are steps you can take to lower your caregiving cost. Tax breaks. If one or both of your parents live with you, you may be able to claim them as dependents on your tax return, which will significantly reduce your tax bill. To claim your parents as dependents, their income must have been less than $4,400 in 2022. They must be U.S. citizens, and you must have paid for more than half of their expenses. Even if you don't claim your parents as dependents, you may be able to deduct their out-of-pocket medical expenses as long as you provide more than half of their support. To qualify, you must itemize deductions on your tax return and your total medical expenses, including costs for prescription drugs, hospital care, and doctor's visits, must exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. Help from employers. Talk to your employer about programs or benefits that support caregivers, such as flexible schedules and remote work. If your employer offers a dependent care flexible spending account, you can contribute up to $5,000 a year to cover expenses related to caring for your parents. The money is exempt from federal income taxes, as well as Social Security and Medicare taxes. It may also avoid state income taxes. Your parents must live with you and be incapable of caring for themselves. To use the account, you must also be able to claim them as dependents on your tax return and have provided more than half of their financial support in the past year. If your caregiver responsibilities make it difficult for you to work, you may be able to take advantage of the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act. This law requires employers to give you up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave per year to care for a family member who has a serious health condition. Your job and health benefits are protected during the leave. Your eligible family leave if your employer has at least 50 employees, you have worked for your employer for at least a year, and you worked at least 1,250 hours over the past 12 months. Your state may also offer even more assistance. 8 states and Washington, D.C. provide paid family leave for caregivers, and 3 other states have enacted legislation that will take effect within the next few years. The amount of pay and length of leave varies depending on the state. You can find more information at www.ncsl.org. Government support. Even if your parents are ineligible for Medicaid, they may qualify for other programs that will help defray caregiving costs. If your parent is a veteran, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs could help pay for some expenses to reduce the cost of paying for home health aides, Goyer says. President Biden recently issued an executive order that offers support to caregivers by providing home health aides after veterans are discharged from the hospital. The VA is also considering adding more home-based caregiving assistance to veterans through its program of comprehensive assistance for family caregivers and providing more mental health support for caregivers enrolled in the program. Respite care programs give caregivers a break from their day-to-day responsibilities. The Family Caregiving Alliance provides a guide to respite services in each state at www.caregiver.org. And our next article comes from the magazine Investopedia. And it is entitled, Put Your Emergency Fund to Work. These strategies will help you keep emergency funds accessible while earning you returns. An emergency fund can help you stay on good financial footing when you face unexpected costs like medical bills or car repairs. But if you want to invest these funds so that they earn money for you, you'll also want to ensure that you can access them quickly and easily to use them for emergency expenses. Sure, You can keep your money in a checking account or a savings account so that you can pay for an emergency expense immediately. But there are ways to invest emergency funds so that they can earn returns. Liquid assets such as money market accounts, high-yield savings accounts, and CDs are among the ways you can invest your emergency fund money so that it will grow for you and remain accessible. When considering investment options for your emergency fund money, aim for options you can convert into cash quickly and easily without a withdrawal penalty. This will ensure you can use the money when needed. Most financial professionals recommend against investing your emergency fund in stocks because they are fairly volatile. If you needed to sell your stock to use the money for an emergency expense, you might be forced to sell at a loss. Bonds are generally less volatile than stocks, but they may take time to sell. Here are some ideas on how to put your funds to work while keeping them at least somewhat protected. Ways to invest emergency funds. There is nothing wrong with keeping your emergency funds in a traditional checking or savings account. For some, those can be an ideal way to protect your money, so it will be there when you need it. But you won't make any money on those funds. However, if you want to earn returns that help prevent losses due to inflation, and who doesn't, you might consider other investment choices. Money market accounts. These accounts are sort of a mix between a checking account and a savings account. Money market accounts are considered low risk, so they can be ideal for an emergency fund. They generally provide an annual percentage yield of around 3 to 4%. Most money market accounts are insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, or the National Credit Union Association, or NCUA, which means your money will be protected up to $250,000 per account. Companies such as Capital One, Marcus by Goldman Sachs, and Sallie Mae Bank offer money market accounts. Some banks offer money market accounts with a debit card or even check writing privileges, giving you instant access to your funds. You can often make a certain number of free withdrawals per month, which can vary based on the rules of the individual institution. High yield savings accounts. A high-yield savings account, often offered through online banks, can also provide returns while keeping your emergency fund safe. These accounts generally provide higher interest rates than traditional savings accounts. According to the FDIC, you can earn at least 4% from high-yield savings accounts compared with an average APY of about 0.3% from traditional savings accounts. Money in a high-yield savings account includes online accounts and is typically FDIC insured. You can usually access the money through an online fund transfer, outgoing wire transfer, telephone transfer, or check request. Certificates of deposit, or CDs. A certificate of deposit, or CD, can also provide more interest than keeping your money in a checking account. Like a money market account and a high-yield savings account, a CD offers FDIC protection for up to $250,000 per account. Generally, CDs with longer maturities, such as those for 5 years, have higher interest rates. However, one drawback of keeping an emergency fund in a CD is that you typically pay a penalty to cash out a CD before it matures, which makes it more difficult to access your money immediately. For example, the early withdrawal penalty on a 5-year CD might be 6 months of interest. If you cash out the CD before you've earned 6 months' worth of interest, the bank may have to take the penalty out of your principal. Some banks also offer no-penalty CDs that let you withdraw your money without sacrificing any interest earned. You may earn a lower interest rate than you would with a regular CD, but your funds will be more liquid. creating a CD ladder where you buy several smaller CDs that mature at different intervals instead of one large CD can help you increase liquidity and avoid or minimize early withdrawal penalties. The bottom line, emergency fund money should be safe and easily accessible. So aim for lower risk investment choices if you want to invest these funds. Consider consulting a professional financial advisor for more guidance on how to invest your funds in the way that best fits your situation and financial goal. And as we close out this episode of Money Matters, we will continue our reading from the book Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan. Starting back with Money Hack number 7. Simplify your coffee. Fancy coffee drinks can put a pep in your step, but can also drain your wallet. If cutting caffeine is out of the question, it's time to be strategic about your order. One option is to find a cheaper drink that tastes just as good. If you enjoy frosty blended drinks, maybe an iced coffee with a shot of your favorite flavor would hit the spot. If you're not sure what to try, ask your favorite barista if there's a simpler version of your favorite drink. Or strip down your order to the basics and customize on your own. Order your coffee extra hot and wait until you get into the office or back home to add a splash of almond milk. Maybe this trick will only save you around 50 cents or a dollar, but over time that amount can add to your savings without leaving you feeling sluggish. Money hack number 8. Hack your spending with the envelope method. Controlling your spending doesn't stop at making a budget and allocating your money to various categories. Next, you have to stick to the plan you create. And one way to do that is to go to the old school and spend more cash money instead of swiping your card all the time. The envelope method, a favorite of personal finance expert Dave Ramsey, involves putting exactly the amount of cash you have budgeted for each category in a physical envelope. Your envelope categories might include groceries, toiletries, and cosmetics, gas or pet food, and care. That's just to name a few. Make envelopes for each category that appears in your budget. And we are out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.